We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome in, everyone, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for joining us again today. My name is Dan Kotnick. With me, as always, is the Fun Friday crew. It's Camille Monet and it's Monty Moore. Guys, how are you doing this week?
I am good. How are you guys?
I'm good myself. It was 70 degrees here in Milwaukee yesterday, and it's like 18 today.
I was about to ask, like, did everybody, because I know Monty is,
I'm a Phoenician.
below the Mason-Dixon line. So was it the same kind of situation down there?
No, it's been nice here all week. It's been like low to mid 70s.
Of course.
Literally 72 degrees yesterday. And then I'm sitting at a call midday and it starts to snow.
That's insane.
24 hours later.
That's like that movie Day After Tomorrow.
It was like almost a 60 degree weather swing in a day.
That's crazy.
Midwest living.
It's fine. It's all fine. Don't worry. We're all okay. Speaking of being okay. The NFLPA surveys came out this week. This is fun. Thank God for this kind of stuff. I think they do this on purpose because know, like, it's a long haul from the end of the Super Bowl to draft day. We need to parcel this kind of stuff out to everybody, leave them little breadcrumbs that they can chew on every week and talk about. The NFLPA surveys came out. They send out the surveys to all the players in the union. They grade their facilities, coach, all of this to, help kind of give some feedback to the teams about how they're operating. And it's a great resource for the teams. It's a great resource for the players. And it provides some hella good tea for us as fans. And so we decided to dive into some of the report cards, specifically, obviously, for the Packers. Look at how some of the other teams, especially in the NFC North, did comparatively, and maybe highlight some of the absolute worst of the worst cases as well, because it's funny. It's like it's literally like a report card if you read it, because like if you have someone like the Packers who do like top 25%.
Yeah.
Overall, I would say in like pretty much almost every category, you read like the little blurb before, it's like players were generally very happy with their situation this year and really excited about seeing progress in such and such. And then it's like you read the Bengals and it's a four paragraph thing of like, I don't know how any of these people survived a full season at this place. And it's like a real report card. I loved it.
Yeah, I mean, the Packers overall were really good. I think they were third overall for best organizations to play for. The Vikings were also in that. I think they were like second.
I was very surprised at how well, I mean, I guess not surprised, but just kind of, you know, to see the Vikings ranked so high in everything.
Yeah, so NFC North well represented there. Obviously, we're not surprised that the ownership portion got an A for the Packers because, I mean, obviously, we do our part, right? I mean, we obviously directly contribute to that, so we could pat ourselves on the back there.
Shout out to all the stock owners.
Yeah, there we go. Great job.
How many? I would love to question the Packer players that fill out this survey and ask them. There's got to be at least one that when they fill out the ownership portion, they're that kid that you, or like they're like the people in 2020 that like wrote in Harambe for president or something, and it's like I'm giving ownership an A because it's all of the fans. You guys get it? Like, it's so funny. There's got to be at least one person. I'm thinking Tucker Kraft probably did it.
Probably. So that's a good guess, actually.
And that's a question that I had, too, when looking at the results, was like, just how seriously do the players take it? So I was trying to find that out. And apparently this is one thing that they do take pretty seriously because they know, like, it can affect their actual workplace, unlike the NFL Top 100, which – at this point, I don't even know what to make of those words when they come out by the players.
Yeah, that one's the senior superlatives at the end of the year.
it feels like the players kind of use this as, you know, when you give a really honest exit interview, right? Like you're not necessarily ranting and raving on your way out, but like this isn't an exit interview. This is, like you said, Camille, being able to improve their workplace that they're still contributing to. So, I mean, things like facilities, I got the full letter grades here. So we said ownership was an A, locker room was a B minus, but the training room was a B, and then the weight room was an A. So like you combine all those into facilities, right? I mean, that's pretty good. The lowest grade they had out of all those was a B minus for the locker room. And I don't think anyone's surprised to hear somebody say the Packers locker room is probably a little outdated. I mean, like when you see locker rooms that are being built, like in these billion-dollar stadiums, like that's not what the Lambeau locker room looks like when we're watching the player interviews on Packers.com during the week.
Right. And I know we mentioned the Vikings, but when I was in Minnesota, I did go on a tour of the US Bank Stadium just because it was new. I wanted to see what it looked like. Of course, me and my husband had all our Packers gear on while we do the tour. And I got it, like the facility was very impressive. The locker room, extremely impressive. So when I saw the report card come out and they said like the Dolphins are one, the Vikings are two, and they're one and two by like a wide margin. Like what they're doing in Miami, Minnesota are like just head above everybody else. And I was like, based on what I saw in Minnesota, like I can see why players would rank the facility so well there. Like it's, one, it's brand new, but like it just looks so good. And in Lambeau, they mentioned like we have the space. It's not a space problem. Like we're not cramped, like the Washington Commanders football players are saying. Where they're like, we got sewage leaking and it's bad here. It's space in Green Bay. We just wanted to be a little bit more modern.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, it's kind of just a little microcosm of a lot of, if you ever stayed at like an Airbnb in Green Bay, it's exactly that. It's like it's nice. It's cold. Like it feels like home, but like I don't want to feel like home. Like let's zhuzh it up a little bit. Let's pump some money in.
I mean, the reading a little overview blurb, it says that according to player responses, the belief is that the club invests in making their workplace better year over year. So I mean, like, overall, I think that's what you want. Like the players believe in what you're doing and they believe you're treating them the right way. I don't know about you guys. The scores are oddly, like, I don't know what the curve is because. Yeah. So for instance, so the Packers got they gave the head coach a B+, right? Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably, we probably assume these grades came out before the Packers moved on from Joe Barry, because the overview says they mostly believe that the coach listens to their wants and needs. So that's kind of like, I'm not going to assume anything, but I'm going to draw some lines on the conspiracy theory map. But a B plus ranked them 21st.
Right.
Like that seems extremely low for a B plus, because I mean, that means a whole bunch of coaches had to get at worst A minuses, right?
Yeah. And a lot of them did. There were a lot of A's, A minuses, three A pluses. But it does mention like this B plus is for Matt LaFleur. And that was so interesting, because in the little breakdown, it says the players feel that Matt LaFleur is moderately willing to listen to the locker room, 26th overall. And I was like, wow. Like, from the outside looking in, I've seen Matt LaFleur as a pretty good head coach, but
he's a player's coach.
Exactly. So like maybe he can see those and think like maybe this is something I can incorporate going forward to try to get more feedback from the players. And maybe having Jeff Hafley in the way that he's going to run the defense will help with Matt LaFleur, because we heard Matt mention during the season last year, like, I'm going to have to step in a little bit more on the defensive side as well, like more than I expected to, but I feel like my voice is needed right now. My presence is needed. So I'm going to make that change. So maybe this upcoming season with him, if things work better out with Hafley, where it's like I can actually focus a little bit more on doing these things, maybe he can implement a little bit more feedback from the players and what they want to do. But again, they're young. So maybe that's part of why it's like,
yeah, that's true too.
Yeah, right? Now it's my way.
Yeah, they might not feel like they have that kind of weight to push around, and they don't, right? I mean, he's like, well, they don't no matter what, because he's the head coach. But yeah, I mean, a bunch of rookie and second year players, their voices aren't as weighted at the moment. It's funny thinking about, like, I wonder if Jair filled his out before or after he got suspended for not being a captain.
That's true. Yeah. No, I am curious about like when they fill this out, because that has to play into where some of this stuff ranks.
But I wonder how long they get to fill it out, right? Sure, like, do they get the survey at the beginning of the season and they say you have to have this in by, you know, week 15 or whatever?
Yeah.
Or do they give it to them and say, like, have this back to us in 24 hours, right? Yeah, like, because that obviously would change quite a bit when you're ranking what you're ranking.
I would have to imagine they fill this out. They probably get it like December, fill it out before the end of the regular season.
That's true. Like you would want to do it when the season is well underway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. When you had a chance
to experience things and really see how everything's working.
Yeah. Yeah. You mentioned the head coaches. It was kind of jarring to look at Kevin O'Connell and Dan Campbell ranked as the second and third
overall. And they were A pluses, I believe.
And they were A pluses. Yeah. And Matt Eberflus 25th. And the thing too, like 25th is a B.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Right. It's
what, so that means there's only six coaches worse, six or seven. I can't do the math. Six or seven coaches worse.
And like, it's like, how do you interpret it? How do you interpret that? Right. Is player satisfaction with their head coach very top heavy? Then
it must.
It's like they either like you're either great. There's a very few that are good. And then there's a bunch of okay to bad, because like Josh McDaniels was a D.
Yeah, the lowest one, Josh McDaniels was a D.
Even Ron Rivera was a C in Washington. Like interesting how, I don't want to say he lost the locker room over time, but kind of, where it's like, I bet if the survey was done years ago when he first came on board, that would have been a far higher grade than what it is now. But still, in the second year that they've done this, so it is interesting to see, but it also makes me think that a lot of NFL players feel confident in their head coach, for the most part, at least, where they don't feel like it's just like, we don't know what's happening here. And I guess when those situations do happen where it's a head coach where it feels like he's in over his head, like when Urban Meyer came back to the NFL and it's like, everybody's like, well, what?
Because the Panthers coach who got fired, he was still rated decently high, like by his players. Like, they liked him. But like,
yeah, I do love that the Panthers said coach that got fired was rated higher than Matt Eberflus.
Yeah. I've always liked to look at the training staff, because that's what fans complain about, right? Mm-hmm. The most. They're always yelling to fire everybody on the staff. The players like the staff. It says the head trainer received the fourth highest individual grade among trainers. 86% of the players feel like they receive enough one-on-one treatment, and players feel like the training staff moderately contributes to their success. So like, the players believe in the people that are in place to take care of them, which is that kind of paints a picture of like, we get a little dramatic about injuries thinking, oh, the team must be doing something wrong because the players are getting hurt a lot, when this is a violent game where the purpose is to hit really hard.
Yeah. And I actually, so for all of these categories, I went back to 2023 to compare what players last year were saying versus this year. And that was like one of the biggest kind of jumps was in training the training room and the training staff was so grade wise, it only jumped from a B minus to a B, and it would jump from 12th to 11th. But last year, they said 82% of the players thought they had enough trainers, which is up to 91% this year. And 73% thought they had enough physical therapists, and then 82% this year.
Okay. So
that's a pretty significant invest. Like, is something, I don't know if it's because there's so many new players kind of joining in, or if like real changes were made, but That's a not insignificant change.
I mean, that directly points to, it seems like the Packers listen to their to the needs of the players. Strength coach, 93% of the players feel like they get an individualized plan, and it also says the players feel the strength coaches significantly contribute to their success, 6th overall, which is very interesting, because the Packers just changed out their strength and conditioning coach. I forgot the new guy's name, but he came over from the Niners. Mm-hmm. So
Aaron Hill.
I think it might be Aaron Hill. It is. It's Aaron something.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, I mean, so they were already pretty happy with them, but they felt the need to make the change. So that'll be interesting, Dan, who, like, you track going back to last year. I wonder what that looks like.
Last year it was at 98%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, 98% to 93%. That's not, especially when you consider like there's 55 guys.
How many new players came in also?
Right. You've got what, 55 players on the roster. You've got 10 practice squad guys. So like when you start looking at 98% versus 93% of like 65 ish players, that comes out to like maybe two or three guys. Kind of changed. That's not a huge thing. It is kind of interesting. Going again, the Vikings ranked first in strength coach. Like there are so many of these categories that it's like, it's kind of like, you know, what Monet, when you were talking, I don't know why I just called you last name, Camille. Sorry. I said that. When you're talking about like the facilities, it's like, yeah, they should be ranked pretty high because they're so new. Like that, like you need, like that should just be the baseline. But the Vikings ranked really well in a lot of these other categories that don't have anything to do with the actual facility. It's the people, it's the culture. And it's kind of interesting. As much as I hate the Vikings, they seem to have a very happy
the culture. The culture of the team always seems to be pretty good.
Yeah.
So it says the Packers are one of seven teams without game day childcare.
Yeah. That was interesting.
But when we talk about how weird this is weighted, like overall throughout the league, it must be bad because the Packers got a C+ for treatment of families, but that puts them 10th. Like that is a lot of teams are D or worse.
Yeah.
At treatment of families. But
which
I feel like that's something that the Packers need, for as much as they like to preach that they're like fan owned and it's a small town, like family mentality. That's a category they need to be getting A's in my opinion.
Yeah. And that was interesting going back to the 2023 survey of it. And it mentioned like 11 teams at that point didn't have game day childcare available. And now it's seven franchises don't have it available. So it's like four teams did add that in. But when you look at the grades, like there are a lot of F's. They were way more F's for treatment of family than I thought.
And the Chargers are the worst.
The worst. And the Commanders. Like
and I saw people making the joke, well, it probably used to be free, but then Phillip Rivers was bankrupting their budget. So they had to change it out.
Well, so the Bengals, I think, were ranked very dead last in treatment of families. They're one of 12 teams without a family room at the stadium. One of seven without daycare support on game day, and four teams without a family room or daycare, like, period. And they said like basically there isn't the blurb literally says there isn't much being done well by the team. The players want what most other teams have, such as somewhere better than a tent outside for families to gather after game days. They don't have like any point of contact. And this is Cincinnati. Like this isn't Miami where it's going to be, you know, 50 degrees at the worst. Like Cincinnati gets really cold. Like it's not pretty. But yeah, that is one thing that stuck out to me was that, you know, the Packers organization preaches being the community, the family, everything, and it kind of just sticks out. Like that's something that's an easy win. That's a really easy way,
especially for this, like this franchise. Like,
yeah,
it's all about being small and family atmosphere, and like the town as part of the team, right? Like, and these are all things, you know, for a variety of reasons, like. You have to lure players to come to Green Bay,
right?
When it comes to like being free agents, right? So if you're choosing between a warm weather team in a state with no income tax, and that team's really good with like treatment of families versus like not that in Wisconsin, like you have to overpay that at some point. So like all that stuff matters. And we were talking about before we started recording, not surprised to see them have a high grade for food cafeteria, like a B+, because there's no good options in Green Bay, really. So like, or few and far between, let me say that. Like it's not like living in a big city where you've got unlimited food options. Like the team itself has to take care of that for these players and get them on like, you know, obviously like a good in-season diet program and stuff like that.
And treatment of families was their lowest letter grade on their report card with that C plus. That's the only C that they had on the entire report card. It was 10th ranked. It's not their lowest ranked. The training staff was, but that was a B. And it's in part because so many NFL teams really enjoy their training staff. So it's, you know, one of those things. But I think that that's an area where the Packers definitely can show a sign of improvement, because I've never even thought about childcare, daycare for NFL players. Like, I've just never considered, like, oh, that's something that they would want on game day. I just always assume like they had a family room or they did something already for the families. But yeah, having a daycare where even if the other parent, or if it's a mom or a grandparent, whoever it might be who might be bringing the kid to the game, like, hey, you can play in here and I can go and watch the game itself. Like, even having that option, I think, is a really cool thing that seems like a lot of other teams are already doing.
I wonder if people would be like too worried and be too stressful of a job if you're like in charge of the players' kids on game day.
Oh,
like,
no, if you put out a thing on LinkedIn or Indeed right now, you would have 50 sweet old Wisconsin women.
That's true.
You would have every child would have like a little knit sweater by the end of the season. The kids are making pierogies and rolling sausages and stuff. Like, there are plenty of little old lady grandmas in Green Bay that are ready to jump in and watch the kids during game day. Let's make this happen.
That is true. Cause you would get those similar type of, you know, everyone signs up to go shovel out Lambeau Field.
Exactly.
Yeah. It would be like that. A bunch of sweet old Wisconsin grandmas would love to watch all the players' kids.
Shoot. I'm an adult and I would love to go somewhere where I can just be around sweet old Wisconsin grandmas. Like, hey, I just want that grandma feeling in my life. Like, I miss it.
You're onto something. That's $1 million idea, right?
I'm telling you. Grandma for a day or a weekend. I need it. I just need it.
I want a sweater with love in every stitch and cookies. And I honestly bet you could get like a dedicated grandma for every single child that plays, that has
probably, their, you their probably could. The Green
Bay Packers. You could probably get a designated grandma for each of those kids.
A team?
I'm so in on this idea. We need to figure out how to pitch this to the Packers and make this happen. Like, it has to happen now.
Sharks, what we've presented for you here today is we're looking for $1 million, 2% of our company, Wisconsin grandmas.
Andy's got plenty of connections. We can help. He can help us get this off the ground.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. It's going to be perfect. What I like to look at, like, some of the other stronger, like, what, you know, because Packers are like one of the best orgs in the league, right? Packers. Mm-hmm. You think the Ravens are up there. But like the Steelers have that kind of reputation. They did not do good at all. Like their best rank of anything was head coach, which we're not surprised, right? Like Mike Tomlin, Hall of Famer, like never had a losing season, phenomenal leader. Like, no bad things to say about Mike Tomlin, but he got an A, which put him fifth. But I mean, listen to some of these other ones. Treatment of families, F-.
F-.
Nutrition and dietitian, D. Locker room, F. Training room, D+. Travel, D. Ownership, F. Like, not good.
They don't have a sauna.
That's ridiculous.
How are you a professional sports team that doesn't have a sauna? And those just seem like those are the basic necessities at this point.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I wonder if part of the facility stuff for the Steelers is in part due to the fact that they share their stadium with the University of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, double the wear and tear, right?
Double the wear and tear.
And
you've got to plan out the space a little bit differently. Like, you can't like have everyone have free reign over, you know, every part of the stadium kind of thing. Just thought of that. That makes me kind of curious about that. Yeah, that's I haven't looked through each one, but each under team travel, each note, each one that I've read so far mentions like they don't require players have roommates before games. I want to find one of these
The Bucks.
That they really okay.
So the Bucks, if you're not a veteran player, and I think it said like 4 years or something, you have to pay like $1,800 to not have a roommate.
What?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, first of all, these are $1 billion businesses and franchises, right? Why are they making players share a room in the first place?
These are adults.
Insane.
Adult men.
It's insane to me. Like, I get the whole, like, in the interest of like camaraderie and stuff, but like, that's training camp stuff. Like, when you're on the road, you don't, like, before it's a 17 game season and every game is extremely important. Like, you want the players to be as comfortable as they physically can be by the time that game kicks off. And then you're like making them share rooms before the game.
So to your point about that, because the other team that stood out to me was seeing the Kansas City Chiefs ranked so low, like they're Super Bowl champions.
They bombed.
And that was part of the problem the players had, where they're like, we are winning. Why aren't there more investments into
that's just how good Mahomes is. It's like, yeah, well, I'll just overcome our team being bad at everything else.
The juxtaposition of Andy Reid being voted the best coach, the overall best coach, and then Clark Hunt being rated the worst GM, F, or the worst owner.
F minus.
The Chiefs also are one of the teams that require some of their players to have roommates on the night before the game.
Oh my!
Like, this is a dynasty. They should be, the players should be able to basically make their own rules as far as like, this is what makes me comfortable before a game. Like, we are the consensus best team over the last probably 5 years. Like, we keep winning Super Bowls, but I got to shack up with this guy on my team that always snores in the middle of the night before the game.
And the thing that I don't get is like they ranked so poorly in like everything about the stadium, like locker room, you know, training room, like all of that stuff. They like it said in there, I read that they were promised after the 2022 season that upgrades were going to be made on the locker room, and they showed up at the start of next season and realized that no changes had been made. Like, I think like some of the changes that they asked for were like just chairs with backs on them. Like,
we got a new carpet.
Like you said, Monty, you are in a dynasty window. Screw Super Bowl window. You're in a dynasty window.
You're making history.
Your stock is never going to be higher. You'll never make more money than you're making right now.
Right.
If you're not investing that back into your stadium right now, what are you doing?
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Fattening the pockets up is what it sounds like. Because
ding,
I mean,
ding, ding, ding.
One thing they said in the report card, too, was that a majority of Chiefs players believe that their facility is no better than offsite locations where they could train. Like, only five other teams had that poor of a feeling.
And that's a big deal for players because, like, if you don't feel that you're getting good, if you don't feel like you've got good enough amenities or you're getting good enough training at your facility and you feel like you could better do it at those outside facilities, but if you get hurt at one of those, that is a whole other like ball of wax, right? Like if you get injured working somewhere else that's not at your team facility, the team might not feel like covering your, you know, all that stuff, like covering your injury or your surgery. Like, and I'm sure players are annoyed by that. And that's why, if they don't feel like they're getting adequate support at the office, so to speak, they like rally against that. And they probably weight that heavier than it even would. Like, even if they don't hate it, but they complain it hasn't been changed. Yeah. Next year comes around, I'm going to give it a worse grade.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I don't want to have to risk working out somewhere else.
Right. Hey, like your local Planet Fitness or some Patrick Holmes is doing bench presses.
Hey, can you spot me? I got a game tomorrow.
No, and it's such an interesting juxtaposition because we keep talking about how it's a dynasty. They're winning. Like people like obviously are wanting to go play. Like they want to win there. They want to go there to win and be a part of this. And yet the players themselves are clearly very unhappy with it. And so it's like these players, to an extent, a lot of them are saying we're putting up with some of the worst facilities we think in the league because we want the championships. We want to win. We will suffer through this if it means championships. It's just kind of a micro. It's really a microcosm of like sports fandom in general. How much are you going to put up with if it means a championship?
I do like that the Packers got a B+ for travel. It said 93% of players feel like they have a comfortable amount of personal space during flights because obviously the Packers don't have a jet, right? So they're flying out of Austin Straubel, like so they're not sharing commercial flights with the Green Bay contingent of fans,
right?
That was actually one I liked that. Every team in the NFC North was ranked in the top 10 in team travel.
Mm.
It kind of makes you like, is there some of these categories where everybody in the North is ranked like top 10, top 15 kind of thing? And it kind of makes you wonder, like, is it a geographical thing? Because again, like it's bad weather. You're traveling in bad weather. You're doing all this stuff. And like everybody sort of in that geographic location knows, okay, we have to make sure. Like this is something that we really highlight and we take care of, you know.
Should we speaking of people that coaches that you were surprised didn't have a higher rating, Bill Belichick didn't get a very good exiting report card. So he got a B-, which was 27th overall.
Wow.
But when you dig into it, it says only 55% of players feel that Bill Belichick was efficient with their time. And the players feel that Bill Belichick was rarely willing to listen to the locker room.
No.
Doesn't surprise me, actually.
Like he definitely got to the point where he's just like a little too old for like the current gen of players, and his style and his message doesn't really work with guys who are like basically all Gen Z on the Pats at this point. Like they have a lot of young players.
Yeah. Since we're talking about the Patriots, I find it absolutely hilarious that Robert Kraft got a 6.9 out of 10. I find that joke very funny. Too, on the nose.
It's too on the nose.
Thank you, NFLPA. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. D+ for Robert Kraft.
I bet it. The ownership, though, back to that, I wanted to highlight the other NFC North owners because I live here in Detroit, and Sheila Ford was ranked the 21st overall.
Owner. Okay.
And like I wish this was something that we could go back a couple of years and see, because before Dan Campbell, there were really hardcore pushes to force Sheila Ford to sell the team.
Sell the team. Yeah. Like
they wanted the Ford. They want the Fords out of there. And I'm curious. 21st is not great. It's bottom half of the league. But I'm curious how much of the Dan Campbell effect lifted that up. And if Dan Campbell wasn't there, how much lower she could possibly end up. Virginia Hallis McCaskey from the Bears, 13th overall. That was kind of surprising.
Yeah, and I know Bears fans are always, you know, saying things will never change as long as she's in charge or that family's in charge. But yeah, I mean, only three teams got Fs: the Chiefs with the F-, the Cardinals, who have definitely been.
Everyone just hates. Yeah,
they've been a mess for about a decade now, and then the Steelers, like we talked about, with the F, and then the D's are the Bucks with a D-, the Panthers with a D, and then the Pats with a D plus. But then there's a bunch of C's and a bunch of B's. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, ownership, like we always talk about, like, you know, when fans are talking, like NFL owners aren't really the most popular group of people in the sports world.
Right.
But interesting looking at what the players think, a lot of them don't seem to think they're too bad.
Well, you know, I will say Ziggy Wolf from the Vikings got a 9.7. And yeah, it's really easy to pump a lot of money back into your facilities when it's all coming from the taxpayers. So.
And it's funny because, like, from the complete outside looking in, like, we're just football fans in general, obviously Packers focused. But if I had to guess what at the moment would be the best team to be on as a player, I would probably guess the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst grade the Dolphins got on anything are A's.
Like, yeah.
League of their own.
Their report card is A-minus, A-plus, A-plus. Like, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
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 I mean, I'm sure it's pretty easy to do that. It's pretty easy to do that in Miami.
In Miami, yeah, I'm sure there. Yeah, no income tax.
No income tax.
With your contract.
The weather's amazing. You're not here for hurricane season.
Like, there's a handful of things to do.
Just a few. Yeah, I don't know. Any other things stick out from you guys that we haven't touched on yet?
Closing it on a Packers note, I wanted to. Where was the one that I wanted to? I thought it was interesting that getting an A for something like the weight room puts them seventh. Because again, like we were talking about, you have to have good facilities, and that's great to see that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's something that the players know, that like they can show up to the stadium, like they're gonna get a good workout in. And it says specifically that they feel like when you talked about the trainers earlier, but 98% of players feel like they have enough hot tub space, but 100% feel like they have enough cold tub space, which means there are some players probably like, I don't want to get in the cold tub. Like, we want more hot tubs.
I was going to say, it's just because the cold tub is you walk outside.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, right. The tubs are full. All right, so just open the back door.
Big, wide open space in the cold tub.
I would say one of my takeaways was just seeing that last year the Packers were sixth in this survey. It was the first year they did it last year, and this year they moved up to third. So I liked seeing that they improved somewhat, and I'm looking forward to seeing when next year's results come out what the Packers do, if we're going to hear anything about a locker room renovation coming or the daycare being added. Some of the bigger things, I know the nutritionist, I believe it was, mm-hmm. was also kind of middle of the pack, upper middle of the pack, but
yeah, it says only 76% of players feel like they get an individualized nutrition plan,
right? Which feels low to me, like 70, like that's a little low. But then I look at, like, it was the, I think the Bengals had the worst grade, what an F- for their dietitian. They, like, only 19% of their players felt like they got, like, individualized.
They're getting like Hello Fresh.
It's funny, like they rank like middle of the pack in nutrition, but for food service, they're almost in the top five. And I think it's because they're like, well, we got a ton of food, but like it's all, you know, like there's cheese curds and they bring Quick Trip over, and like it's like,
now see, I'm giving that
nutrition
an A+.
Side of it's not great, there's plenty of food.
Yeah, I'm giving that an A+.
Oh, hell yeah. Give me some Quick Trip cheese curds all day.
I mean, that is a good point. That is a good point, though, for Camille to say that it improved from last year, because what's something we've said all season, right? Just like the team seems to be like closer, and everyone's having more fun, and like this, like that seems like the players are happier than they have been recently. So that, I mean, that tracks with these scores.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that just about covers everything there throughout the whole survey. Hope everyone enjoyed listening to that. And by listening to me speak at this moment, you are contractually bound to not rip off our Green Bay grandma's idea business plan. Through perpetuity across the universe, this is a legally binding contract by you listening to these words come
this
out.
This episode will be notarized.
Make sure that you are following the podcast if you're not already everywhere. It's on YouTube, the Andy Herman side. Every single day on YouTube, Ross Uglum has his stuff coming out for the draft as well. You can follow all three of us on social media as well. I'm on there at DK All The Way on Twitter. You can follow all of my non-football, football-related posts and everything there. Guys, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter. Also, I am at Ferd Turgeson, F-E-R-D underscore T-U-R-G-E-S-O-N. And I will also have an episode of Last Call Lambeau out on Game On Wisconsin with Aaron Alice this Friday as well.
Awesome.
And you can find me on Twitter as well at Camille Monae, C-A-M-I-L-L-E-M-O-N-A-E. And when it comes to talking sports, you can catch me weekly on Technical File Podcast, where we cover NFL, NBA, and pro wrestling news. Record every Tuesday live on our YouTube page. Release Wednesdays everywhere you get your podcasts, as well as Monday through Friday, talking all things Milwaukee Bucks on Locked On Bucks.
Very cool. Awesome, guys. Thank you for listening. Again, we'll be back here next Friday with some hopefully they release, like, you know, the survey of who, players who hates them who the most or whatever.
So the players MySpace top eight.
we'll find something great to talk about, I'm sure. But until then, guys, stay safe, and as always, go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.